Welcome back to the Mawa Distance Show. I'm Shirley Nordrum.
And I'm Sharon Nordrum.
And today, this is part two of our interview with Mike Swan about his experience working in community theater.
When you get in those circles like that, where people are open, they have so many questions. And it's kind of like, well, how in the heck do I know so much about you and your government and your religion, and you know absolutely nothing about me or us as tribes?
Well, it was one kind of, it was kind of interesting this year. One of the older ladies come up to me. I was kind of sitting there waiting for my scene. I'm just kind of sitting back at stage. And she comes up to me and said, you know what? I had a dream last night. And it's been going on for the last four nights. I kind of looked at her. I said, you know, in our culture, you know, when you come to ask a person to interpret your dream, they give them tobacco to interpret that dream for you. But since you didn't know anything about that, you know, a different culture, I said, you know, I'll let that slide here. What's your dream? She says, I've always seen this this wolf, and it's always just staring at me, just looking at me. I kind of looked at her, I said, have you had this dream before? She sat there and thought about it. She said, you know what I have? I had this dream before a couple times, she said. And that was at the birth of my daughter, she said. I said, some way that is tied to your daughter then. Why don't you talk to your daughter? So she did. She calls up her daughter, and she didn't want to come straight out and say, yeah, I dreamt about a wolf, and, you know. She said, yeah, she probably think I'm crazy. So what she told me was she called her daughter, and her daughter said, yeah, I've been thinking about you the last couple nights. And she said, the lady told me, yeah, I haven't heard from her for about over a couple months. And she said, yeah, you know, fine. So she made the contact them, and they said, yeah, her daughter says, yeah, I've been thinking about you. I said, well, maybe that's tied into your daughter then. She's thinking about you and what you're doing, so maybe that's what it's about. Okay, you know, so she was kind of happy about it that she turned her daughter and start communicating again.
That would be nice. I can't imagine going 2 months without talking to my son, or when my mom was alive, going 2 months without talking to her.
Yeah. Oh, my mother was alive. She always called me about bingo.
Your mom did like that.
Yeah. Yeah,
the
casino.
Kidding.
Yep, the casino there. So, but yeah, it's been a lot of fun in doing this. And some people are asking me, you know, maybe you should go try out for some other roles besides just with the Northern Lights Opera Company. I said, I probably would, you know, let's take a look around and see what's, you know, what some places they're doing, but be interesting, I guess. I said, I don't know, but not too many films have a big fat Indian coming across their screen.
Well, yeah. That's what's interesting is, like, so they contacted you about Sitting Bull, and then, you know, they had a Polynesian role, but it sounds like, you know, now you had a role that really didn't matter. You know, the color of your skin didn't matter so much. It was you as an acting person. So I think that's what would be nice, to have theater clubs that just recognized, you know, people for their skill of acting. Obviously, there's always going to be a place for people of color to, when they have, you know, roles of natives. They should be filled by native people. But
yeah,
also, you know, just roles available with native people in them.
Yeah, and I've, you know, the roles I have been playing, you know, I've always been, you know, like they did, they wanted natives to play the native parts in right. in the show. The Polynesian, you know, they had a lot of natives from the village here playing those parts. And this part here, you know, as far as here's the Drunken Garbage Band, I had no bearing at all, you know. Yeah. The only thing I was telling everybody is, telling everybody was that it's been over 28 years since I staggered on the streets of Parker Rapids.
And that's a good thing.
Yeah, it's a good thing. Yeah.
Because you wouldn't have been staggering on the stage if you hadn't quit.
Yeah. And I was just joking about, you know, the playing a drunken man, being a stereotype or anything like that. The thing is that, you know, you're doing the parts and you got to memorize the lines and memorize your dancing and everything like that. If you have to work with the other people and doing your dance steps or anything like that, it's not like an individual dancing. You're doing it all together at the same time. And your movements, you know, you're doing a circle or something like that, you know, you're marching or the different types of steps that they have you do. It's all that coordination that takes place. Like I said, it's a lot of fun.
I'm really excited to hear that you have this exchange with the youth, because, like you said, those opportunities don't always present themselves to youth on the reservation, so... You know, to be able to get out there and, you know, it's not just acting. Maybe you don't have to be in front of to participate either, because, like, I did do some work with a theater club up in International Falls when I was younger, and I didn't like to be out front, but I found I liked the lighting and the sound, you know.
Uh-huh.
Or building the stages, you know, or those. So there's things that you could do, too, to be involved but not have to be out front.
Yeah.
But it's something to do, you know?
Uh-huh. Yeah, you know, there's always something that you can do if you don't want to be acting. Yeah, because there's a whole new group of people that does the lighting, building the stage.
You're still something, you're part of something.
Yeah, changing the props, props during the acts.
That's what I did.
Costumes, you know?
Yeah.
Costume design, sometimes you got to, you know,
sometimes you have to... You can go to school to be a costume designer.
You can.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you can go to school for all of it. But,
yeah.
I remember, like, when we did Henry VIII, and we didn't have a budget for stage production. And we're like, it was a crew of three of us, and we're like, what the heck are we going to do? So we ended up just making a big black cross. Like, the whole thing was black. Like, the whole stage was black.
Uh-huh.
And then what we drew on was the costumes, because we did have... good costumes that were beautiful, you know.
Yeah.
So that blackness made them pop, you know. But sometimes, you know, what do you do?
Yeah. It's you know, they do what they can to get whatever costumes or outfits, you know, you need to do. And they're having a lot of problems when they did the Eddie Get Your Gun and doing outfits. And so I had an old outfit and I used some stuff, and I did some research on Sitting Bull. And Sitting Bull liked to wear white cotton shirts.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. You didn't really have buckskin or anything like that. Buckskin was hotter.
Oh, yeah.
It didn't breathe. But he always wore cotton shirts.
Nice.
White cotton shirts he always wore. And so that's what I used. And I did have some buckskin leggings, and I used those. I did have a breech cloth made for it, just a red breech cloth.
I remember Vicky talking about that on Facebook.
Yeah, and
you were going to be out there in just your breech cloth.
Yeah, I'll say that.
Well, I know one of those reenacting guys that did that at a picnic, and it wasn't pretty.
Oh, God. Well, even when I did the Polynesian Chief, I came out there in a grass skirt. And that's all I had on was a grass skirt, you know, and well, shorts on the grass skirt.
Hey, and, thank you for telling us that you did have shorts on.
Yeah, and the director says, stop. He says, Mike, that's a little too much. So he said, we got to do something more to help, you know. And so what they were doing is they were watching these cartoon characters on, what's that one, Moona or something like that. And they had... like grass necklaces or something like that. So they made me a grass necklace. Close to it, anyway. So that covered me a little bit, you know.
Yeah, I was just going to say, yeah, they have, you know,
uh-huh.
with a big necklace on and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's what they ended up making for me, and so to cover up a little bit besides the grass skirt. And because I had to run across the stage and all like that. And one guy says, "Well, if you're running across the stage, you gotta have a. If you're the chief, you gotta have a. You gotta have a staff, you know." So he brought in a great big stick, and they decorated everything like that. They kind of looked at it, and they decorated it with fringe and everything like that, ribbon and everything like that. They one of the things I did do was look in. I went online and I was looking at the Polynesian Center that had some videos of Polynesian, kind of doing some homework about Polynesian people and how they do, how they act and everything like that. They're the ones with the baton and twirling the fire and everything like that. Yeah. So I brought that up to the director. I said, "Well, you know, I could do this fire thing." And they all kind of looked at me. "What do you mean? What do you mean, fire? You know, building, fire, smoke." So I said, "No, you know." So I pulled it up on my phone and showed them, and I said, and I looked, they looked at me, and the director and the choreographer, and they all looked at me and said, "No, Mike, you're not going to do that."
The curtains will be on fire.
Yeah, curtains. Stage would be on fire and everything.
He would throw his baton, he would go flying into the audience. Oh, yeah. Didn't mean for that to happen.
There's a lot of liability with that.
Yeah. Have you ever thrown the baton? Nope. Well, I'm willing to try. Yeah, it's, you know, all these little parts. When you do that part like that, you do a lot of research also on the characters that you are playing.
Right.
Besides, you know, doing the rehearsals and everything like that. I didn't have to do too much on the, Harry's a drunken garbage man on this past one, but before, the City Bull, I did some research on him. The Polynesians on South Pacific, I did some research on them. You know, I had to do research because I didn't know how to speak French. And I was lucky that this young lady knew how to speak French. And how they acted and presented themselves and their culture like that. So it was kind of interesting.
So yeah. Did you watch the old movies then too?
Yes, I did watch the old movies. I did watch My Fair Lady. I did watch South Pacific, Annie Get Your Gun. When I looking at Annie Get Your Gun, it was so stereotyped.
Yeah.
And I was sitting there just mad, looking at this, you know, and how they portrayed natives.
Yeah.
In some of those old films. But I was realized that I was happy because I had the opportunity to portray it differently.
Right.
Yeah. And to do a lot of teaching to them in the community and to the rest of the actors and actresses in there on the sets and everything like that about Native culture. So I, you know, it was an opportunity to teach them about our culture and that. And I even invited them out to our powwow coming up here. I invited them out. They've been coming out. The cast comes been coming out. A lot of the cast been coming out to the powwow.
That's very cool.
That is awesome.
And to enjoy it, you know. I said, you know, free of charge. Just come out there and watch it. Enjoy yourselves. The food and everything like that, you know, and relax. And so a lot of them do come out here to powwow here in Pine Point. And, you know, just to experience a little bit with how some of the dancing and singing.
Yeah, there's a lot more going on there than you just hanging out with a theater group.
Yeah.
I mean, it ended up in, you know, kids getting involved, community getting involved in teaching and cross-cultural exchange.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff happened just from you getting a weird phone call.
Yeah, you know, that's, you know, I'm thinking about
we have to stop and thank the people that gave your phone number out.
That's
yeah,
right.
It's, you know, I don't know who did it over there at the Elder Center, but.
At the Elder Center.
Yeah, oh, you got, you know.
You know, that's
one. You got to talk to my son. He got to help you out there.
That's funny, because, you know, you always think about the greater, when you do something, what it's going to end up in doing.
Uh-huh.
Like those guys, you know, they could have even been joking around. Like, oh, you got to talk to Mike. Here's a phone number.
Yeah.
Well, look what happened from that.
Yeah.
You know, it's pretty cool.
And I didn't think that I would ever do something like this. Yeah. I never thought about it.
Being this wasn't on stage. In your dreams?
Nope. It just happened. It just happened. And I had no idea that what it was, or being in a play, or being involved with this. It just happened, like it the way it did. And once you got involved with the with this Northern Lights Opera Company, then they actually came out to me and asked me what I thought about doing a kids program, a drama class. And I thought that was a great idea. I said we could. So I went over and talked to the school, see what they were doing. And it just so happened that the principal's son was in drama in Park Rapids. And he thought that something like that would be great to be offered to the kids. We didn't know how many kids would participate.
Yeah.
And the first year, I think there was about 22 kids.
Wow, that's a lot of kids.
About 10 from Parker House and 12 from the village. The following year, I think there was about the same amount. They've been, I think there was 18. And some of these kids are, the same. A couple of them are the same ones, but there's always a couple of them. A couple of new ones that are going into it and experiencing it. One of the things that they have to do is make sure that, for the kids to make sure that they maintain their interest in writing the story. The kids make up their own story and design their own set. And then the director and we'll get a couple people to help out with the lighting and the sound system and everything like that. 2 years in a row was over in the old school where they put it on. And this year it was at the new school and also at the armory. And they said they were, they were surprised on the amount of crowds that attend. But a lot of people were saying, geez, I wish we hear more about this for the kids.
Yeah.
There was some lady, I think, up in Bad Medicine Lake. She said she had the radio station on in Park Rapids, and they announced it that at such a time that they're going to have the kids' theater show free of charge at Old Pine Point School. So she got in her car and drove down here. And I guess she was from New York, too. And she watched it, and she just loved it. And you get a lot of people besides, the people, kids' families that come over and watch the show.
I didn't know about it, or I'd come watch it. I mean, I think that anytime our youth are doing something positive, if you can be there to support them, however that is, like watching their play or whatever, it's so important because we don't want to give energy to talk about the bad things we're doing. We want to give energy and support the good things they're doing.
Uh-huh. And their plays, too, that they write, I think last year it was like a dream these kids were having of the characters and everything like that. And this one here was, they thought of, well, our director is from New York City, so let's say that we're in the subway and we go underground. And, that's how their story progressed. So underground creatures and everything else like that. And
that's cool.
This is really nice.
That's such a great opportunity, too, that the person directing is, they get that connection to someone in New York,
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's cool if it was somebody local, but it's even cooler that it's someone from New York.
Yeah.
Has that connection to theater and Broadway.
Yeah, it is.
Who knows? Maybe one of these kids will end up on Broadway. How cool would that be?
I think that would be great. And someone pursuing an acting career or something like that.
Yeah.
That there's more opportunities out there. And not only in theater, but films or anything like that. There's other groups I know around the state that has different productions. I know there's one out of Minneapolis, and I remember back in the 90s, they had this group out of Bemidji and they put on this play called Turtle Island Blues.
Turtle Island Blues, yeah.
Yeah, and one of my relatives was actually in the part, Tom Bakunaga.
Yeah.
He was in there, participating in the theater.
He did a little more than just that, though, didn't
he? Yeah, he did. He was into Jesus Christ Superstar. He was playing Jesus and everything like that in there. So he did a lot of different opportunities like that in looking at theater. And I never really thought about it. I went and watched it. And there was another one they put on, too, this group put on. It was about these two older ladies. And they go to a powwow. And it's like those two old ladies were, just talking back and forth. One says, I'm hungry. Let's go to Cleo's stand, lunch wagon. My mother and well, let's go to Babes. You know, they're sisters, and they're competing each other against each other. You know, so I remember that part because it refers to my mother and my aunt, food stamps back then, and I can't remember the name of that.
Me either. Wasn't one of them Carol Vandal, one of the women?
Yeah.
The old ladies.
Yeah.
Did Marcy Rendon write that?
I have no idea who wrote that.
I think it was.
But I remember it being played up there in Bemidji.
Yeah.
And people loved it too.
It was great.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun.
But yeah, you know, just if there was other options or opportunities out there that, especially for Native people,
right,
to do. Like I said, when they approached me about Sitting Bull, I wanted to make sure that they portray Natives as a lot better than what you see in the films.
Right.
Old films, you know. And that's, I think that, you know, we accomplished that in doing that and sharing our culture. Because not only that, you know, doing the films and everything, that we started doing things in the library in Park Rapids. We'll be contacted by different things by that's going on in Park Rapids. It seems like since we did that, the relationship between the village, Pine Point Village and Park Rapids has gotten better.
That's good.
I like that.
Even now they are doing what Bemidji did, has done, is when you enter one of the stores, say, you know, bonjour, when you leave in Miigwetch, you know.
Yeah.
Having the dual bilingual signs, they're working on that over there. So it's just, I really didn't know about it until this group has been doing this. I went to the electric company around the area here, donates to nonprofits and that, and it called this group up in their Ojibwe language project. And I'm sitting there because I'm there to represent Pine Point, asking for a donation, and I'm kind of like thinking to myself, Ojibwe language project? What the heck this is about? And after she got her check, she comes right over to me and says, I got to talk to you. Okay, we'll talk after we get done here. You know? And I find out that, you know, they did put this group together, started ordering signs and going to the businesses and actually putting those signs up on doors and everything like that. You know, it's up to the businesses to put that up. Yeah, but a lot of them have done it. Put the signs up there, even when the bathrooms or something like that, in any ikwe, like that, you know.
Yeah.
Just basic words, a language. You got a lot of people, tourists are like that, and they see those languages, and they kind of wonder what it is. And, you know, the store owner explained to them, yeah, it's Ojibwe. That's a tribe over here. That's the ways away, you know. We give them a sheet of what those words mean to kind of help them out a little bit. So it has been improved. It has improved over the years. Before that, I can remember it's just been really bad. Between Park Rapids and Pine Point, you know, the only thing you hear is bad coverage or something like that, or, you know, any reservation town. A lot of times you only hear bad things that comes out of the villages.
Right.
But here, you know, we're working together to try to improve those relationships between Pine Point and Park Rapids.
I love all that positive energy that's come out of all this.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of like, you know, art is often a bridge between a lot of cultures, and that seems to resonate around through a lot of the interviews we do are with artists and different media art forms. And when they talk about relations in communities and things like that, it is the art that ties. And sometimes I think it's really the only true beautiful thing that human beings do is the art, you know, like acting or music or visual arts. It's truly, purely good.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you see that a lot around here. Even, was it this past summer, the town of Osage, just 9 miles down the road here, they were doing their Pioneer Days, and they wanted a drum group to come over and sing before, you know, just emphasize that, yeah, there was people here before the pioneers settled.
Right.
They were here before then, long before the pioneers even came along. So we were kind of happy that that was offered, but the scheduling and trying to get a drum group or singer,
dancers and guys that didn't really work out because of there was a Powell nearby that everybody was going to be at.
Yeah.
And they didn't want to take the time to run over there, do a few songs and presentations and run back to the...
Little Pioneer Days.
Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much, Mike, for taking the time to sit down and share your story and your journey of acting with us. We really appreciate it.
I can't wait to hear what you're doing next year.
It's a good story.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, they didn't come out as, you know, last year we heard right away that they were going to do My Fair Lady, but we haven't heard yet as far as, they said they have a couple ideas what they want to do, but they didn't come out and say which one, which
Ma,
show they're going to do.
I'm going to keep you in suspense.
Yeah. Keep us in suspense. So, yeah. You know, even if I don't, you know, they're acting, I would help them. I'll help them out. You know, even being an usher or something like that during the... There's a lot of things. We see a lot of people that were involved with the Northern Lights Opera Company. You know, they're volunteering to... So to me, I said, you know, it doesn't really matter if I'm in there or not. You know, I'll gladly come over and help out a little bit, you know.
Miigwech.
Yeah.
Awesome.
This program has been funded by the Legacy Arts, Culture, and Heritage Fund of Minnesota.